In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
And welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on November 10th, 2015. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I am just fine for the 21st time.
Yeah.
And you've asked me for the 21st time. Publicly, that is, on a digital level, and I appreciate it every single time. So yeah, on the show today, I wasn't expecting to have a lot of things to talk about, but we kind of do have a lot of things to talk about. Mississippi State played a football game on Thursday over Missouri, a 31-13 victory. We're going to talk about that. Mississippi State had an exhibition basketball game. I've never been so excited for an exhibition against a Division II school. But hey, that's Mississippi State basketball now. But Indiana fans would beg to differ, but that's a conversation for tomorrow. Mississippi State played an exhibition against Fort Valley State, and we're going to talk about some SEC stuff. But first, not meaning to start off the show on an incredibly somber note, but we sort of just have to address this, because it's too big, and it's too big of news to, avoid. As Friday night, pretty much the Twitter sort of started to snowball. It started to snowball on Twitter about 10 minutes after the exhibition game ended, the basketball exhibition. The news of a Mississippi State player, redshirt freshman, defensive lineman Keith Joseph Jr., and his father, a former Mississippi State player, Keith Joseph Sr., were both killed in a one-car accident on their way to a high school game on Friday. And, you know, I back on that Twitter thing I was just mentioning, I watched the basketball exhibition, and I was about to write a recap of it, and I ended up doing so, but it was kind of hard to write. But about, I mean, I just started looking at Twitter, and I found out by simply players tweeting something about, I first saw someone tweet, you know, "I can't believe this happened, rest in peace." I didn't know who it was. Some beat writer retweeted it, and I figure, oh, well, beat writers retweet that stuff often. I mean, I don't think anything in particular happened. Then another player tweeted about it, and then it just started snowballing, and I found a tweet that said, "Rest in peace, Keith." The first thing I did was go to the roster, and at the very bottom, number 99, was Keith Joseph Jr. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I was with my girlfriend in Dallas, actually, this past weekend, and I wasn't paying attention to the exhibition game. I wasn't paying attention to Twitter. And I get a text from you, and my girlfriend's like, "Ethan, who, like, what's going on?" And I just had no clue. And I did a little bit of digging. You were doing some digging, and then found out what was going on. And just such a devastating, devastating event. He was, what, 18, 19, a freshman?
Yeah, redshirt freshman. He was redshirting this year.
Yeah, his dad's in his 40s.
Yeah, and
so that's just so young.
Something about his dad I didn't know until it was reported on the SEC Network that Keith Joseph Sr. is 10th all-time in career sacks in Mississippi State history with 14. So he has obviously played a role in the history of Mississippi State football at some point, playing in the last 2 years of Rocky Felker and the first two with Jackie Sherrill. Played on those Liberty Bowl and Peach Bowl teams in 1991 and 1992. And once again, 10th all-time in Mississippi State career sacks, so he obviously played a role in the history of Mississippi State football.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Keith Joseph Jr., he's just signed this past February. According to Paul Jones, And pretty much every single one of the players, he had plenty of a future ahead of him, could possibly be an NFL player. Paul Jones was tweeting, talking about how in the scout team, he was playing the role of big-time defensive players like Myles Garrett, among others, in the scout team, just playing those roles in practice, that he just had a lot of promise. And once again, I texted this to you, I remembered it, and then I saw some tweets about it later, talking about how just on Monday, on the fifth-year anniversary of the death of Nick Bell, Dan Mullen just answered a question about it, saying, "I hope we never have to deal with something that terrible again." And just 5 days later, here we are again. And that's one of the first things I thought about when I thought about this Keith Joseph news. I mean, it feels like yesterday when this Nick Bell tragedy happened, when Nick Bell started against Auburn in September and passed away in early November. So, I mean, it's heartbreaking, it's disappointing just to think about it. And it's quite, I mean, it's quite a story, knowing about the father-son relationship and how Keith Joseph Sr. went to miss all the Mississippi State games this year. Keith Joseph Jr. didn't play a down, but Keith Joseph Sr. was still there at all the games, and they both played at the same high school, the same college, and they both die together. I mean, it's just it's heartbreaking and an incredible story that all of this is.
Absolutely. And our thoughts and prayers from the entire Mississippi State community, because they've already got the helmet sticker designed for him. Our thoughts and prayers from the Mississippi State family are with the Joseph family specifically, and with his teammates, friends, roommate, just, you know, all of them. Our thoughts and prayers are with them.
Certainly. So, let's go ahead and get to some more happier news, and that Mississippi State won a football game.
Absolutely, we did.
We won 31-13, and we're going to get into a question that Mr. Vanderlip sent us. We were very close in our predictions.
It took me a few tries.
I remembered my prediction.
I forgot that I guessed as many times as I did. I was like, "Well, it could be this or it could be that." This seems likely. Yeah, I forgot that I do that occasionally, and I particularly did it this past week.
Yeah, but we were both pretty close. But we'll get to that. But Mississippi State won 31-13, and what was a very, very ugly game at the beginning. It was both ugly, and the weather was pretty ugly too. And I felt sorry for my father and my brother having to sit there in the rain the entire time. But anyways, the game started out beautifully for Mississippi State. Mississippi State didn't get the ball to start the game, yet Mississippi State was up 7-0 after just 2 minutes of play.
That first drive by Mississippi State only took 42 seconds.
42 seconds, four plays, 62 yards, capped off with...
You're looking at it too.
Yeah, capped off with a 36-yard... Ethan, I'm prepared. Don't be acting like you're the only prepared one here. But it capped off by a 36-yard touchdown pass from Dak Prescott to Fred Ross. And then from that point on, it was just a pillow fight. That point for the rest of the first half, with the exception of the end of the second quarter, was just a pillow fight. No one could get anything going. It just wasn't fun.
See, it was stupid football for a little while, but that was part of, you know, they were playing pretty much in the Mississippi River with as much rain and water just as present for that period of time. It was pretty much the Mississippi River, and you can't throw a ball in a river, and it just didn't go well. And Mississippi State already can't run the ball, and Missouri has a very good defense. And Mississippi State has a pretty good defense, and Missouri just doesn't play offense.
No.
So for that period of time, it is understandable for stupid football to occur there. And Missouri should just plan for there to be a monsoon just every football game they ever play.
It seemed like Missouri actually started... The game changed as the weather changed. The beginning of the game, there was some sprinkles, but there wasn't an absolute downpour. Mississippi State was able to really play well. And then the downpour starts, And Mississippi State couldn't get anything going on offense. Missouri actually was able to establish a running game with Russell Hansbrough. I'm going to go down to the Russell Hansbrough stats if I can really quickly. Well, it wasn't just Russell Hansbrough, apparently.
It was Hunt and Witter that did most of the damage, and yeah. Most of that damage came on big runs.
Mm-hmm. But Russell Hansbrough had 62 yards and a touchdown from 16 carries. The first touchdown in a month for Missouri, so congratulations to Russell. Ish Witter, what a name. Why didn't we put him on our SEC name list? Ish Witter.
Yeah.
He had 12 run. He had 12 carries for 81 yards. And Taylor Hunt had 6 carries for 85 yards. But anyways, they were able to establish a running game. And then once the rain subsided in the second half, Mississippi State just absolutely gave some knockout blows to Missouri. Had a 17-0 third quarter. And that just ended up being the difference of the game right there.
You know the biggest disappointment for me from this game?
Giving up the touchdown?
No, it's not that. It's that Ashton Shumpert reception for a touchdown that was taken away by, a holding call?
Yeah.
Because Shumpert cleared the lane, he ran all the way down, broke a couple of tackles on the play, and finds the end zone for the first time in what feels like forever for him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken away. And I'm just thinking, this is the biggest play of this man's year so far, and you just stole it from him. Thanks. Thanks, refs, for actually doing your job for once.
All right. Now, I want to mention something. It may be just completely irrelevant, but I want to kind of mention it. I was watching a post-game recap by Steve Robertson and David Murray of Jeans Page and Dog Giant. Yeah. And Steve Robertson mentioned something. He was field side. And for all the Ole Miss fans listening, because I know there are some, you can turn it off, because I know you hate Steve Robertson so much. So go ahead and turn it off if you don't want to listen to real journalism.
They shouldn't be listening to a Mississippi State podcast if they don't want to be called obsessed, too. So we can call them obsessed at this point.
Yeah, I know. But you know that there are some listening, right? Somewhere.
There has to be.
Yeah. But he noticed this field side that it seemed like for the first half, Duranya Wilson was non-existent. It seemed like he wasn't getting the ball at all until late in the second quarter, when he got the 28-yard touchdown pass from Dak Prescott. Steve Robertson noticed that Duranya was on the field, he just wasn't getting the ball. And then Duranya went over to Dak during a timeout, either a timeout or just a stoppage in play, and he said, "Look who is defending me." Who was defending him was a 5'8 defender. Missouri went out with the exact same defensive scheme. Dak threw it right up to Duranya, who had a really good catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Mississippi State is a 14-6 lead. Of course, we gave up the touchdown, which we thought would give Missouri some momentum going into the second half, and that didn't happen. But, oh well.
You know, we get into the third quarter, too. We jump up, get 17 more points. And we just kind of cruised from there, too, in typical Dan Mullen fashion. He lets off the gas. And we don't continue to score. We start running the ball, primarily in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little annoying to me for once. Like, this is the one time it's actually annoyed me, because I'm sitting here thinking, we've already put up more points than any other team has on Missouri this year. Like, let's go, let's score, let's just run this thing up, let's pile it on, because we're going to go play Alabama. And I get, the reasoning of, don't completely show Nick Saban everything, but at the same time, let's get as much hype and momentum going into this game this next weekend as we can. Let's just go ahead and put up 40-something points here,
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Let's double the, maximum that Mizzou has left,
certainly,
has allowed all year. Let's do something like that. And that bothered me a little bit, but at the same time, it just left me wanting more for this coming weekend.
certainly. So, I want to give, I want to mention some individual performances, really quickly. Well, first of all, on the offense, goes without saying that Dak Prescott had a pretty good game.
You know, there are two other guys that had some pretty good games, too.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there, buddy. Dak went 27 for 40 for 303 yards and 4 touchdowns. Not too shabby. Is one of the guys you were thinking of Mr. Fred Ross?
Yes.
11 receptions for 115 yards and a touchdown. And yep. Was the other guy you were thinking of on offense Darunya Wilson? Or were you thinking of an offensive
yes.
guy? You were thinking of Darunya, all right, because great minds think alike, apparently. He had 4 receptions
yeah.
for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then there is an individual performance, if I can get his stats up here, on defense that I want to mention. Mr. Chris Jones. Named SEC Defensive Lineman for the week for his performance of 2 tackles, both of which tackles for loss for 8 yards and a sack for 6 yards. And he missed a couple of sacks. With that being said, even though he was being held on pretty much every single play, he was able to make his presence known in the backfield.
You know, it feels like that's been the case just about every, well, the part of him being held pretty much every single play. It feels like that's been the case all season. He's gotten a lot of double teams. He's just had what has not been apparent to the casual fan as like a dominant season. He's had a pretty good season making his presence known. And this is just the culmination of all of that hard work, all of that effort to having a great season just all came out in this game.
And I'll go and tell you this, that I can only imagine what Chris Jones is feeling right now, because these past 2 years, they've been a struggle. Chris Jones being a 5-star out of high school, the number 2 overall recruit, according to 24/7, in the class of 2013. Had a good freshman year, and then last year was just not good. It was very mediocre according to the standards that we set for him, and I'm sure even more so for the standards that he set for himself. And now, he has a really good game against Missouri, and he's being recognized as the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He must feel like, well, finally I'm getting some recognition. And I think really that'll just make him want to perform even more for the future, especially with this week coming up and these next 3 weeks coming up against Alabama, Arkansas, and Ole Miss.
Yeah. There are 3 other guys that I kind of want to point out
okay.
that had pretty great games on defense. Richie Brown.
Certainly.
You know, he has 4 solo tackles, 1 assisted tackle for a total of 5, and then he has 2 sacks for a total of 14 yards. He was just all over the place, just kind of like he normally is.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, Jamal Peters got his first start in this game.
Yep.
And he goes out and gets 5 total tackles, 4 solo. And just, that's pretty great for a freshman. And I guess there's a lot of names we could list here. Kevon Coleman, Beniquez Brown, Brandon Bryant and Nick James all had pretty solid games too. So just hats off to this defensive unit just as a whole. They, outside of that one touchdown, and there were some missed tackles here and there, the defense has really shored up and is really a solid unit
mm-hmm.
at this point in the season, and that's great to see.
Certainly. So, that will just wrap it up for that talk. Mississippi State improves to 7-2. We don't know what we're currently, what is it, number 20 in the AP, which doesn't really matter anymore. But I'm guessing we're probably going to be in a range of about 15-16 in this week's College Football Playoff Bowl before we play Alabama.
Oh, man, that's going to be so hyped here. Because SEC Nation's coming to town.
Ethan, I can't.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting.
I can't wait till Thursday when I get to play the CBS the CBS theme song for a Mississippi
you
State
know,
game.
You know, I'll actually be excited for it that one time.
Yay! So that's fun. Really quickly, I'm just gonna talk about the exhibition. Do you know anything about this exhibition, Ethan?
I heard from you that Craig Sword was playing well and Weatherspoon was playing well.
Yes.
So, you know, Craig Sword, not a lot of people are saying his name nationally because everybody's focused on Malik.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Craig Sword and Weatherspoon, along with IJ Reddy and Fred Thomas, you know. I have said it before and I'll say it again. I feel like we have the deepest and most talented backcourt in the SEC. And that goes up against anybody, including Kentucky. And I'm going to say it again right now. I think we have the most talented and deepest backcourt in the SEC. You've got guys.
Most talented, huh?
Just, yes. Because I think, I mean, I wrote an article about it last spring, summer?
Yeah, you did.
I don't know.
I remember that.
Saying that I believe that Craig Sword could be drafted, possibly in the second round.
And people called you crazy.
Yeah.
People said that you were on crack. I remember that.
People have said that a lot about what I write, but I tend to be correct more often than not. So
I can agree with you, speaking from experience, particularly on this show.
So,
anyways,
the point is, I think that the duo of Sword and Malik will be very, very dangerous. And then if we ever get into, like, three guard sets of IJ, Malik, and Sword, or you got IJ, Sword, Fred, there's just so many combos here. You throw in Weatherspoon in there, too. That backcourt gets very dangerous. And it's not like Mississippi State truly has a center presence, because Gavin is kind of small to be a center. He's more of a forward, power forward. Basketball season, if you couldn't tell, because it'll be the first good basketball season I've seen.
It will be. You have experienced the Kroom years of Mississippi State basketball.
Yes.
So, just to go over this exhibition really quickly, it's Mississippi State started out really poorly. This was really ugly for Mississippi State in the beginning. We were down 13-12 through 8 minutes of the game. No offense. We just couldn't get anything going. Ben Howland called a timeout. And then we went on a 13-1 run and just never looked back after trailing 13-12 through 8 minutes of the first half. We were up 47-27 after the first half. And from that point on, we didn't look back at all. Ended up ending up winning the game 95-56. IJ Reddy, leading scorer with 17 points from 23 minutes. Right behind him, an incredible performance from Quindary Weatherspoon, getting 15 points from 19 minutes. He played really, really, really well, and he is, in the future, he could be a legitimate opportunity at an NBA first-round draft pick. He looks really good, and that's 15 points from just 19 minutes of play. Other good performances, you mentioned Craig Sword had 14 points. Fred Thomas had 11 points. Gavin Ware had 12 points. A name that we didn't see last year because of injury, Johnny Zapardo, had 12 points and 10 rebounds. So he had a double-double. That's from 25 minutes. Falou Noy played some, only got 5 minutes. Not anything other than that worth necessarily mentioning. And, of course, Malik didn't play because he had turf toe, but he should be back on Friday against Eastern Washington, and we'll talk about that game on Thursday. So that's just about it. I will mention two things really quickly. One, we shot the ball lights out from three. We had 40%. I don't remember. I don't have it on the... Let me... this isn't good. I don't have... Here it is. We went 10 for 25 for 40%. And I just want to... And I have a... just a quick little notice. One of the things that Ben Allen wanted to do was that he used in his last couple of years at UCLA was have a fast-paced, up-tempo offense. There was one situation which it was obvious. There were plenty of them, but this is just one that I noticed and I wrote down, that Fort Valley State made the three to go up 13-12. The moment the ball hit the ground, we went right back on offense. We were down the floor in a good 2 to 3 seconds. Just room down the floor, and that's when Ben Howland called the timeout when we crossed half court. But, I mean, that's really nothing, but I just decided to throw that in there because it's obvious about that fast-paced, up-tempo offense. But we looked pretty sluggish at the beginning, but we got the job done. They very solid 39-point victory over Fort Valley State, and we play an NCAA tournament team last year in Eastern Washington on Friday at 7 p.m. at the Hump, and what I'm guessing will be a sold-out crowd. Once again, Indiana fans beg to differ, but they'll be eating their words pretty soon. So now we get to talk about SEC games. We've already talked about Mississippi State, Missouri. Anything to talk about in Georgia's 27-3 lead over Kentucky?
Wait, who has the pick, like our pick'em challenge lead?
I do.
What's the differential?
One.
Because I picked Kentucky in this game?
No, yes, you did. You picked Kentucky in this game, and I picked, Ole Miss. And yeah. I'm very happy I got that wrong.
Okay,
and
so
we'll get to that game. Will get to that game. But,
there's nothing much to go off of this Georgia Kentucky game besides Georgia found a way to win by 24 points despite having no offense.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Toles has really kind of fallen apart.
Yeah, they're probably going to end up going to Drew Barker pretty soon.
He was very charismatic. This guy that seemed to be able to put it all together last year and then kind of fell apart down the stretch. He's kind of doing that again. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. He's fairly talented. Perfect build, perfect arm for that offense, and it just isn't clicking for whatever reason. That's kind of a shame. But that being said, after seeing what he did to us last year, I don't necessarily mind.
Next... Florida beat Vanderbilt 9-7.
This Vanderbilt team is actually becoming a force, especially on defense.
You know, the one thing, if I kind of, the fact that Florida nearly lost because of a dental student kicker that joined the team 2 weeks ago missed an extra point.
Yeah.
You know, if Florida would have lost, Vanderbilt would have won the SEC East, and we are both convinced of that.
You know where Vanderbilt's leading rusher is from, Ralph Webb, in this game?
Where is he from?
Gainesville, Florida.
Ooh.
And he was the only bright spot for this Vanderbilt team. 22 rushes, 118 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He was the total leading rusher for this game. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Taylor could not hold a candle to what Ralph Webb did.
17 carries for 47 yards, yeah. And yeah. I will mention one thing. Before the final possession in which Vanderbilt had to do every single thing through the air, Vanderbilt had 9 passing yards through about 14 minutes into the fourth quarter.
Nine.
Not one. This is... Not two. Not three. Not four. Not five. Not six. Not seven. Not eight. But 9. 9 passing yards. And that's passing yards. Like, you throw the ball. Like, the ball is released from your hand, and you try to get it to a receiver. Passing yards. 9.
One
you can
final.
Count the number of passing yards they had through 14 minutes of the fourth quarter with your hands. 9.
Or your toes.
Or your toes, and I'm not going to interrupt you anymore.
One final note for this Vanderbilt game is who would have thought coming into the year that we would have gladly traded running back positions with Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
So on to our next game.
Ethan, I got a fun song to play today. I've been waiting for this.
Go
Come on, Ethan, do it with me. Woo! Pig suey! Woo!
Okay, let's
Pig
settle down there.
Pig suey! Razorbacks! Woo! Arkansas.
Can we get a Brandon Allen for Heisman candidacy going? Just
why the heck not?
This guy's had such a good senior year.
And you know what, Ethan? You know who I put as the top two quarterbacks in the SEC before the season?
Who?
Dak Prescott and Brandon Allen.
See, I think I had him somewhere in, like, the top five.
Yeah, I had him number two, and that's really chewing to be true right now.
He's just, man.
Against
what is supposed to be a very good defensive secondary.
Yeah. One note.
Yeah.
Brett Bielema is insane.
Oh,
I
yes,
have never
absolutely.
Met. I've never met him, but I've never seen a more insane person in my life. He goes. I mean, I kind of understand it with the momentum that he had after whatever the heck happened in overtime that Arkansas was able to pull off.
Yeah,
that is. That's just absolutely unfathomable what happened right there. But really, would you go for two in that situation, Ethan?
You know what that play kind of reminded me of? It's not the same play, it's not the same design, but the same sort of just break Ole Miss's back with a quarterback run play. You know what that kind of reminds me of?
What does it remind you of, Ethan?
The 2013 Egg Bowl, where Dak runs it in on 4th and 3?
And also, would you still go for it, even though you didn't get it the first time and Ole Miss just shot themselves in the foot with a face mask?
Why not? Yeah, because you just got more. You got closer.
And should I even reference his post-game press conference?
No.
Okay.
We're gonna keep this show PG.
Okay, but he was just hopping on a plane.
That's not what he said.
With his
and
wife
then his correction, his correction on Feinbaum was no better.
I didn't see that. You're gonna have
man.
To text it to me.
You're gonna have to go look this up.
But I mean, he was just hopping on a plane. With his wife,
man.
Headed to Fayetteville. I mean, I don't
know. Here,
just text it to me, Ethan. Just text it.
I'm about to, because I have to find it on Twitter.
Just text it. Okay, you're going
to
say it.
I'm about to. I'm not going to say it. No.
I'm just actually going to give credit to Chad Kelly, because he had a pretty good performance, 24 for 34 for 368 yards and 3 touchdowns. But
he had a great performance,
but
too.
But he got out-dueled by Brent, and he had a QBR of 98.3.
When you look at Chad Kelly's total game, including, I don't think he got out-dueled by Brandon Allen, actually, because when you look at 11 rushing attempts for 110
yards
and 3 touchdowns there.
Yeah, that's 6 total touchdowns.
Chad Kelly kept them in this game. There's no, when Ole Miss scores 45 in regulation, they should not lose.
I'll go and tell you this. If Brandon Allen missed that second two-point conversion, Chad Kelly would be the SEC Offensive Player of the Week, not Brandon Allen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's fun. It was a beautiful day. And woo pig. Anything to talk about in our Tennessee's 27-24 victory over South Carolina that I did not see? I'm kind of regretting doing so because this game just sounded weird.
I mean, I didn't watch much football this weekend, as I've tweeted about. I had to go back and, like, rewatch stuff online and, such as that. But South Carolina's kind of attempted to turn around their season.
Oh my God.
You just got the direct message.
Oh my God. What are you doing? Brett Bielema is the most insane, but you know what? I'll give Brett Bielema credit. He's a member of Team Visor now, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not a good comment from that. Yeah.
Okay, so continuing on, you know, Perry Orth did everything he could to keep South Carolina in the game. He had a his completion percentage isn't great, but he throws for 233 yards, 3 touchdowns, ran for 42 yards. You know, South Carolina did everything they could. They just didn't have enough there. And Josh Dobbs had a pretty good game, but he just hasn't been as inspiring as we all expected.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that game.
Ethan, I know you're pretty excited to talk about this one, aren't you?
Oh, it was beautiful. Auburn
defeated Texas A&M 26-10. And Ethan, you were about to pick Auburn on the last show. You were...
Yeah.
You were about to say it, but you didn't.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Any thing to talk about here?
Kyler Murray is not the savior of Aggie football.
I don't think there will be a... Is there a savior for Aggie football at this point?
At this point, I think they just need a new head coach. And it's not to say Kevin Sumlin's a bad head coach. I think he's a pretty great one. I just think... He doesn't fit in at A&M, mm-hmm. and I think he'd fit in perfectly at Southern Cal or
Houston, because you know the Houston job's going to be open.
Where he used to coach, or you know somewhere like Virginia Tech would not be a bad fit, where they're going to need some new energy. He definitely brings energy and recruiting success.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him leave. But if he does stay, A&M does need a new offensive coordinator because there's no way Spavital survives this season.
And in my opinion, Spavital was just a bad hire simply because of inexperience. He was like 28 when he was hired.
Yeah.
What Sumlin and young coaches, because Cliff Kingsbury was in his late 20s, early 30s when he was hired as the offensive coordinator. So...
And now he's a head coach. But Kingsbury is actually.
And now he is the head coach of Texas A&M. Or, sorry, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, the Red Raiders. Woo. Our next game. Our next game.
Oh, man. Don't.
Our
don't
next game. Yeah. Alabama beat LSU 30-16 in one of the more boring matchups of this series in the last couple of years. I just wanted to tell you this, that the reason why I picked Alabama in this game is because I knew that Alabama's front seven was going to be able to shut down Leonard Fournette, and that they would have to depend on Brandon Harris in this game, and they were probably going to be unable to do so. Yeah, that happened.
I didn't expect them to shut him down the way they did.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And El Tractor Cito
mm-hmm.
has started his Heisman.
He is the Heisman front runner at this point.
Yeah. One thing to look at, though, that last run that he had in this game, like I went and watched this game, and he had 38 carries, which is an absurd amount against a very physical LSU team.
Yep.
Derrick Henry did leave the field a little gimpy, so I think they may have overused him in this game, particularly late.
You know, I hope he's not injured, because wishing injury on someone isn't nice.
No, but, it's very low, it's classless,
but
it's horrible.
I hope he's a little run down.
I hope this entire Alabama team is run down, because Jake Coker probably had the best game of his career.
18 for 24 for 184 yards and 0 touchdowns.
Yeah.
that's but, saying something right there.
But that's all they need from him when you have
Kenyon Cito.
Yeah. So just point is, everything seemed to be going well for Alabama. A'shaun Robinson blocked a punt, and he is a very large individual.
Yes. I'll tell you, I tweeted out before the game and you liked it.
Oh, was this the Rick Ross thing?
Yeah, Leonard Fournette and A'shaun Robinson look just like Rick Ross.
With the beard and the bald, yeah.
They are Rick Ross. And that's why Rick Ross... And I think Rick Ross is one of the better game day pickers we've seen in a while.
I actually am planning on going back and watching, like, this college game day.
That was funny. That was funny. It was very good. Lee Corso had a gray beard, sunglasses, and some chains.
That's fantastic.
And one of the chains I sent to our good friend J-Dog, it had the 100 emoji on it. So, we got some questions from Mr. Vanderlip at KT Vanderlip on Twitter, the large dog trademark. Number one, during last week's show, Ethan picked about five final scores. That's very true. We discussed that before the show.
This is true.
One of them was 38-13, and he missed by 7. Daniel's, yours truly, his score, or why am I saying third person? My score was 27-10, and I missed by 7. Question is, who was righter?
I'm going to go ahead and say, like, you were more correct here.
I was about to say you, because you actually got one of the sides of the score exactly right.
But, no, I mean, just, you only guessed once, I guess, like, 5 times.
That's true.
So I'll just give it to you.
Okay, you concede. Number two. Was this past weekend now the greatest weekend to this point of the year with an MSU win and an Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas A&M loss?
I don't see why not.
You would say so. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, because I still
okay,
think...
Okay, what's greater?
I still think the Memphis weekend's the best weekend of the year so far. But of course, but you have the A&M and the LSU hatred that I don't have. I don't hate LSU and A&M.
But you have to look at this from a, we now have a shot to get the to the West. Yeah, like, it's an actual shot.
That's great. But, you know, the thing is... the thing that I love about it is that just the fashion in which Ole Miss lost. I nearly cried of laughter. Number three, and I know for the Ole Miss fans listening, oh, he's so obsessed! He's so obsessed, I'm gonna tweet him! I'm gonna go on Twitter, I'm gonna berate him now along with the tweets, and you know, I'll just deleted all the tweets about how I wanted Hugh Freeze fired and I was between Russ Bjork. Ah! That's exactly how Ole Miss fans speak, by the way. Number three. State is one of only 3 FBS schools whose defense has given up less than 10 rushing touchdowns and 5 or few... Sorry, Mr. Vanderloop, I had to... has given up less than 10 rushing touchdowns and 5 or fewer passing touchdowns. The question is, what would that stat be if they played the first quarter like the fourth quarter?
We would have not just, like, one of the most efficient, like, defenses, but we would also have just one of the flat-out best defenses in the nation. And I would say the stats won't say it, but we're probably in, when it comes to just ranking defenses, if we were to rank them in a list of, like, this is the best, this is the worst, we're probably in, like, the top 25 when it comes to teams, I would say. I'm a little biased here. But I would say, especially as of late, that we're definitely up there.
Yeah.
But we would just have flat out one of the best defenses in the nation. Combine that with the way the offense is playing, and people would have a hard time looking at... I mean, we wouldn't have lost to LSU. We wouldn't have lost to A&M. We should be undefeated if the defense played the first quarter like it does the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, like, it goes beyond... what would that stat be? It would be, we would be 9-0, more than likely.
Yeah. So, this next question is probably the most difficult question we've ever gotten.
I feel like he asked this because of who we're playing this weekend.
Uh-huh. Could you explain the type of rain that fell on Mizzou in a Forrest Gump voice? Oh my God, Ethan, we're going to both have to do this. And, okay. You know, I can do a couple of impressions, but I've never tried to do a Forrest Gump voice, and this is going to come out like absolute crap.
It's been a while since I've done one. Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You go first. You try it. Because yours is going to be better than mine, whatever it is.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay, let's try this.
1 minute. Let me actually listen to a Forrest Gump thing.
Play it like on your phone so I can listen to it.
Oh, okay.
As well.
Let me pull it up there.
We've been through just... every kind of... That's terrible. You know, I'm trying to right now think of my school's disciplinarian, Coach Counts. He sounds just like Forrest Gump.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do a Coach Counts impression. And I'm trying to do an impression of him now.
Okay, here's the trailer. If it ever loads.
Play 30 seconds of it, because we don't want to be copyrighted.
Okay.
I don't want to be paying any money.
No. Let's see if this plays any
part. Hello, my name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. Would you like a chocolate?
Oh, thank you.
It's funny what a young...
was that good?
No, I don't know what to do. My name's Forrest. Forrest
Gump.
Is that any good? I mean,
we've been through every kind of rain there is. Little bitty stinging rain and big old fat rain. Rain that... Oh my gosh.
You know, Ethan, I'll tell you that. That wasn't the worst I've heard.
Oh, wait. Let's listen to that little clip again.
Hello, my name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. Like a chocolate?
Oh, thank you.
It's funny
when a young man. Oh, thank you. Oh, my God.
Rain that flew sideways, and sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up from underneath. That's pretty as close much, as I'm going to get.
See, you were really putting in that southern twang, which actually didn't sound all that bad.
See, when I get really tired, I have a fairly thick southern accent, and I've been sleeping anyways, so it just...
God, I don't know if I want to do this.
Just you have to now. Or you can do it in Steve Spurrier's voice.
We've been through every kind of rain there is. Little bitty stinging rain, an old big old fat rain. I'm going to have to repeat that. I'm going to have to start it in a perfect... Well, we've been through every kind of rain there is. A little bitty stinging rain, big old fat rain. Rain that flew in sideways. And sometimes rain that even seemed to come straight up from underneath.
Okay, now do it in your Forrest Gump.
God, okay. We've been through... No, it's god-awful.
Just go for it.
I feel so pressured right now.
Pure pressure.
Thank you.
It's for Mr. Vanderlip.
I was about to thank Mr. Vanderlip for putting me through this pressure. As much as I like him, I'm annoyed, okay? Oh, God. Been through every kind of rain okay. There is. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, I told you, that's god-awful. Yeah. That'll wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. Ethan, do you have any final thoughts? Final thoughts other than that, my Forrest Gump impression is terrible. And timeout. Before we continue with your final thoughts, I just want to tell you that a friend of mine just texted me and said... that he's listening to the podcast from yesterday or from last week, and he wanted to call you out for saying that Florida was going to win by 50.
Fair enough.
Yeah, continue.
Fair enough, man. But hey, you said it too.
I sort of said okay. You go. What's your final thoughts?
I guess my final thoughts are just hats off to Derek Mason right now. Just proving me wrong. I mean, just everything that we've seen Vanderbilt do this season is leading up to they are developing as a team. And their identity is not offensive. It is offensive just to watch because it's such bad football. But what he's trying to do is become Stanford of the South, more or less. Similar to how Ole Miss claims to be the Harvard of the South or something like that. So when you look at just what, you know, they're really good at running the ball, especially against a Florida team. They are a great defense. And there's going to be a point where they have a breakthrough. And, you know, they're probably going to beat Kentucky. They're probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they, let me look at their schedule real quick. I don't think they're going to beat Tennessee, that A&M game, let's put it this way, I think will be very interesting for them.
Mm-hmm. So. That's fun.
Those are my final thoughts.
So, that'll wrap it up for this episode of From the Podcast Dolls on Thursday. I'm going to go ahead and give this away. We got a special guest. Stingray is going to come on the show. Yeah, Stingray.
We have some pretty cool guests going through the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and we're going to... And Ethan begs to... This is really a hint of who our last guest is going to be. Ethan's going to beg to differ, but when it comes to guests, we've had the granddaddy of them all coming for the Ole Miss.
No, weekend. Like, he'll definitely be... In terms of guests,
the best we've got.
The best.
But we haven't sealed that deal yet. But we're working on it. We've been in contact with him. No, yeah. We haven't gotten Dan Mullen, but we're working on it.
If those are enough hints for our listeners.
So, we're gonna have Stingray on the show. Ethan, have you seen Stingray's rant this week for the Alabama game?
Yeah, I tweeted about it.
Yeah, he had like 30 people with him.
I actually recognize some of those frat guys. I don't know how he got them in there. But
you
I tweeted
been,
about...
You should have been in there.
Yeah. I tweeted out, Stingray has a sponsorship and is filming his rants inside Davis Wade. I'm doing this whole fan blogging thing wrong somehow.
Yeah. And you know, what Stingray? You know what, Ethan? He follows me on Twitter.
He doesn't follow me.
So we're going to have Stingray on Thursday. We're going to talk about Alabama. We're going to talk about basketball. We're going to have a jam-packed show on Thursday, and we hope you'll join us. Because that Thursday show is going to be fun. I mean, any interview with Stingray is going to be fun.
Yeah.
That'll happen on Thursday. And that'll happen. And until then, thank you all for listening. And bye-bye, everybody.